What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki.
Hi there. We're back. Welcome to the show, Matt and listeners.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcoming me to the show.
Yeah, why not? Felt like an announcer. I'm the MC of the podcast today.
You're very announcery.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your announcerness.
Barry White voice. All right. So I think we are about to talk about some websites.
Yeah, we're going to talk about website design and conversion optimization.
Fun.
Yeah, no, I didn't make that sound too sexy, did I?
No, you didn't.
Yeah. It is sexy. This is a really good conversation.
Thank you. That's better. Come on, man. I was setting you up. Now, Matthew Wolf.
Today, we're talking about CRO.
Like, man, what's CRO?
No, we're talking. No, all right, so
not boring.
Today, we actually have the guy behind the websites of guys like Kevin Rogers, Perry Marshall, Jordan Harbinger, James Schramko, Chris Ducker, Ezra Firestone, and soon Evergreen Profits.
And Frank Oz.
He's
the voice of Yoda, Miss Piggy, and other Muppets.
Yeah, Greg's company. So we're talking to Greg Marilise today from Studio One Design. And Greg's company did the design for all of those websites. And he is just a ninja when it comes to the optimizing the website. Like finding the elements on your website. They're going to make visitors convert into leads and leads convert into sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where we go with this episode.
That's pretty much it. I mean, yeah. And so throughout this talk, you'll hear, and like Greg has been doing this for a very long time. So he's seen the trends change online. He's seen what works, what doesn't work. And we talk a lot about those things. We talk about like the mistakes that a lot of people, including us, we made some. He actually gave us some feedback like maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah,
and we made some tweaks. Yeah. So we actually have, and we're in the process of getting a new site made by his company, Studio One Design. So, I mean, these guys are freaking pro level everything, but Greg breaks down the psychology that happens, you know, when you're building out a site, but also just from a customer's perspective, what you're trying to do to get a conversion, to establish a relationship. Mm-hmm. And he's very specific, and he lines out, it's like three main key points, but then breaks down what five or six other key points where the psychology really gets in, and it's things that you wouldn't think of.
I also asked him, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see a lot of websites have with their design? And chances are you listening to this has one of those mistakes on your site. So make sure you listen to the portion of the mistakes, because a lot of people are making these damn mistakes on their website.
Bob, you listening right now, you probably have that mistake. So you want to
Bob,
hang on with us.
Get on that, Bob.
You too, Cindy.
Cindy. Well, Cindy's worse than Bob. Let me tell you. Cindy's
don't got, call him out like that. Jeez.
Oh, sorry, Cindy.
That's a little aggressive, bro.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Cindy. We love you. Yeah, and then, you know, I actually transitioned this conversation at the end because I was really curious about the agency model.
I was curious because we actually had the same thought about it. We're like, we're switching gears here. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we're switching gears to the same damn thing. All right.
Yeah, we're switching gears to the same damn thing.
But yes, yeah.
The agency model, we've never had the greatest, I wouldn't say we didn't have success. We've always had success when we've had agencies. We didn't have the greatest time running an agency, I guess.
It's how we want to spend our energy. It's like, how do we want to do that? Well, agency, we felt like, maybe that's not it. But Greg has dialed his agency in like a freaking Swiss watch.
Yes.
And he works remote. He has, I think he said he has 20 people working, but they are remote. Mm-hmm. And they don't even do team calls.
Yeah, they just use Slack. Yeah.
Like, whoa. All right. So this guy, and he lives his life. He's a family man.
He doesn't work on Fridays.
Doesn't work on Fridays. He does Pilates, though, I think he said.
Okay.
that's where he's off to after this.
Yeah.
But amazing. So the fact that he runs an agency that I think it services about 100 people at any one time, he literally says he uses Google Docs to manage the freaking.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's
what?
He's created a huge business that creates amazing designs that a lot of people love. And he's managed to simplify it. And that's what we love. And so we talk about all the design elements you need to focus on in your business. And then we wanted to shift gears and talk about how do you simplify your business. And so that's what we did. And we took notes on the process, too.
We took notes, and I did not remember how to get these notes via text. What's the number, Matt?
Yeah, so you can get these notes pretty easily if you're driving, pull over. But, you know, pull out your phone.
Be safe.
And text COMP.
COMP.
To 38470.
38470.
Comp.
38470.
Comp.
You think I would remember that number?
Yeah, 3470 comp.
The jingle came back.
Comp. Yeah, we should make that into a real. Like, we should hire somebody on Fiverr to make a legit jingle out of that.
We're better.
Yeah, but I'm lazy.
We have more fun with it.
Okay, fine. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, like they did back, you know, back around the time the telephone was invented.
Back in those long-form typing days.
Yeah, you can go to hustleandflowchart.com/comp. C-O-M-P, and that'll get you the notes too. You're going to want these damn notes. You got to get them quick, though. You have about 2 weeks from the day the episode goes live to get access to the notes. After that, they get locked down in the vault. So hustleandflowchart.com/comp or text the word C-O-M-P to 38470.
That is 38470.
Comp.
Thank you. Off to see Greg.
Let's go talk to Greg.
Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt and Joe, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. We have some history. We go way back. Yeah. And Matt, you've interviewed Greg before in a previous podcast, right?
No, but Greg actually designed shirts for a previous podcast, for the Beyond the Hype podcast that I had with Josh Bartlett.
Mm. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I joined your membership back then as well. And you guys were quite helpful. Yeah. We only did a couple of sort of group calls, but yeah, you know, made a set goals, and I think I hit all those goals. Started a podcast, did all that stuff.
Nice. Yeah, that was at a time where Josh and I, we were partnered, and you know, we had our podcast. We knew we wanted to podcast together, but we didn't totally have like a business model figured out behind the podcast. So we were selling, you know, we had like some courses, and we had some coaching, and we had some group coaching stuff, and we were really just trying to like figure it all out at the time.
Yeah. And then, you know, Thrivecart took off.
Yeah, exactly. Thrivecart just became a beast. And then, you know, that's where Josh had to shift his focus pretty much. And yeah, that was pretty much the evolution of that podcast.
Yeah.
It's the arc, story arc. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, I noticed, like, if I Google Thrivecart, you guys come up. So you must be doing some pretty good stuff with that Hrefs.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you mention it. Yeah. They were a previous sponsor. I don't think they're sponsoring this one.
Right.
But yeah, we use Hrefs all the time.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's how we probably find a lot of those gold keywords.
Yeah. No, it's true. Nice. I mean, we had a little bit of a leg up with Thrivecart in that we were, like when he first opened the doors to it, he allowed like three affiliates on board. He was like, I'm just going to test this on a very, very small scale. And so we were one of the initial affiliates that he allowed to promote it early on. And that allowed us to kind of get a head start on other people with our content marketing. Mm. So, yeah. You know, we did have that little bit of a leg up, but, you know, luckily because of the timing of it all, we're pretty well SEO'd for a lot of Thrivecart related keywords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this all relates to what we're talking about anyway, you know, is having like a really solid website and asset that you can, you know, have it kind of decked out with the right components that has the end goal that you're trying to shoot for like, so like everything that you saw, it's more of like a blog in content forward, but yeah, it generates a lot of money and well SEO'd, which are all key components of probably a ton of stuff we'll chat about here with you too.
Maybe not.
Just say who knows?
I'm not an SEO expert. Yeah, but I get it. But that's why, you know, we team up with partners like Stefan Spencer and people like that. You know, world leading. He's been on this podcast too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, we've been on his. He's been on ours. And
cool.
We're actually in talks with him to maybe, you know, work with him a little bit closer on some things. So he's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah.
And yeah, your buddies with Shramco, of course. James Shramco is, you know, a mutual buddy of ours and been on our show I don't know how many times now, how many hours. Yes. They're always long conversations.
I think he's been on three times now, and I think every time he comes on, it's like a 2-hour call.
So good.
Yeah. But then you leverage that. You put on both your podcasts, which is really cool.
Yeah. That was an idea. Yeah, we call it simulcasting.
Yeah.
And, yes.
It works. Yeah. And we're like, let's keep doing that. It's fun.
Very fantastic. Cool. Well, Greg, let's get into your backstory a little bit. I know today you've got Studio One, which is just an amazing design company. And I know you do shirts for podcasters, and you do, you know, you do web design for a lot of big name people. I actually learned today by going through these notes that you did Frank Oz's website.
Yoda.
So like, Yoda, exactly.
You're doing some really, really cool stuff and working with some amazing clients in the design world. How did that happen? Like, what were you doing before the design world, and you know, what was that evolution like?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, if I think back to like school days, I always had a passion for drawing and graphic design, but, you know, I didn't really enjoy school. It kind of sucked. I really just, you know, went there for the design and lunch and the girls. And and then I quit at 16 because I had an opportunity to get a job in a t-shirt printing factory, but as the designer, one of the designers there, and absolutely loved it. So I was there for 10 years, and then one of the owners had a brain aneurysm and died. But at the time, that was terrible at the time. But then two of his clients said, do you want to work for us? And I said, well, let me think about this. And I was 25 or 26 at the time. And I said, well, if I start my own business, will you give me work? And they said, yes. The other guys, I said, will you give me work? They said, yes. So I started my own business, and that was 20 years ago now. So then at the time, we just designed t-shirts, and we did it for, Australia's, we designed for wholesalers that supplied to Australia's retailers. So we only had maybe half a dozen clients, but that was enough. But then probably around, 2012 or something like that, the clothing industry went vertical, which means, the retailers squeezed out the wholesalers. And because they are our clients, that was kind of the end of my business unless I pivoted. So, at that point, I was looking online and I found a podcast, which was, Think I Get with James Framco and Ezra Firestone. Mm-hmm. And they said that their logo sucked on one of their podcasts. So I thought I'd just send them a free logo design to say thanks. But what we do, because, we've got that t-shirt background, we put it on a t-shirt and, made it look something like that you would want to wear, something cool. And, in true Ezra style, he's from New York and he said, hot dang, and he's, I can't do that New York accent. And he absolutely loved it. Yeah. He said, it looks like some fancy softball team. And, it was really funny. But I started, building trust with those guys and they liked our design. So they had us design bits and pieces for their websites and it just kind of grew. And then I remember James Shramko came to my office one day and he said, well, why do you have this office? And I said, well, I've got local clients. I've got 6 full-time designers. And what do you mean? Don't I need an office? And he said, absolutely not. What if I could show you a better way? And then I signed up for his coaching service and he's still my business coach today. That was 5 years ago. Really James said to me, look, that was a great idea sending us that free t-shirt design. Why don't you do it to other podcasters and other influencers? So I did. I sent them to people like John Lee Dumas and Pat Flynn and Lead Pages podcast at the time, whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And, other influencers like Perry Marshall, and there's probably about, 30 odd influencers that we sent free t-shirt designs to. What I did was just built relationships with those people and built trust. And then eventually, designed a few things for those guys. And then they, sort of spread us out to their communities. And we started designing websites for, a lot of people from, sort of all around the world, but more in the online marketing space.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant, man. I love the free, giving value forward. We've done that in so many different little aspects of our business and even to grow this podcast by sending shirts to certain influencers or even the physical newsletter as hey, check out this little way that we're showcasing you. Yeah. It's almost like a little ego thing. You can kind of play into that a bit.
Curious, with the shirts, what was your cost on those shirts?
Well, we just used a place called Spreadshirt based in the US. And so there was no real cost. We just put a little bit of a margin on and we sold these shirts on a website called successshirt.com. And then, so they fulfilled all the orders. It just happened automatically. And all we did with the profit was just split it 50-50 with the podcaster. So yeah, it was really quite a simple model, but it wasn't to make money. It was really just to build trust.
Yeah. I was just more curious, to sort of, I was trying to get an idea of what it costs to get on these people's radars. You know what I mean?
Yep. I'm with you. Yeah. So, well, it was really just, maybe a few hours of time. Yeah. And I guess it wasn't just me. It was, my design team as well. Still had at that time, I think 4 designers when we were trying to, grow the business and pivot. But yeah, it was really just time. And, you know, because we had something unique in this marketing world, it was all about, you know, there was a lot of lead pages and mm-hmm. you know, I don't think ClickFunnels was right in there at that point, but everything was very, you know, markety. And I wanted to sort of cut through that noise and just design something that was unique to, you know, our skill set. But also something that you can't just get off the shelf. It's not like, hey, here's a free copy of my ebook. You know, we custom designed a t-shirt, and it was really not just putting their logo on a t-shirt, but it was using, like, we researched their website and their testimonials and things like that. And we would put something that's relevant, like whether it's a tagline or things like that. For instance, like with lead pages, I went through their testimonials and someone wrote that they were the secret weapon. So we did a t-shirt with secret weapon, just had a little lead pages logo up in the corner, you know. But yeah, so things like that just cut through.
I remember that one. Yeah. And cool. That specific design, because I mean, in all honesty, you designed our Hustle and Flow Chart shirts as well. Really? So the ones that are available for sale have all been designed by you. And,
thanks, man,
and your team, and they're absolutely amazing. I mean, they're high quality designs. We haven't even made our podcast a logo, but maybe one day. yeah, that one.
I like yours though. I like your logo. It's
yeah,
really
that was designed by
punk.
Matt.
that was done about 10 minutes in Photoshop, and it was a selfie, and it was a picture of me and Joe and Brad, and I cropped Brad out of the selfie, and then like messed with it in Photoshop. Yeah.
That was true to us, you know. But yeah, but no, it's the quality of your designs, and I think the thoughtfulness of the designs as well. It's not just like here's a logo, you slap something on a shirt, but it's like what you just said. You're pulling out these elements that are true to the brand, and I feel like that's what makes you really unique.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. But so, with your logo of your podcast design, it's actually quite a trend at the moment to be a little bit more organic and not so polished with design. You know, if you look at all social media posts, they're the ones that get shared because people don't want it to be perfect. They want it to feel, you know, handmade and more organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably a fine line you can go with your fancy designers and whatnot to play into those trends as well. That's good feedback. That's good to witness observe that.
Yeah, so as far as websites go, you've designed websites for Kevin Rogers and Perry Marshall and Jordan Harbinger and Shramco and Chris Ducker and Ezra Firestone. Like, how did the t-shirt business transition into a website design business?
Yeah, so really it was from listening to lots of different podcasts, you know. I mean, Lead Pages, what was their podcast? It was all
Conversion
about?
Cast.
Conversion Cast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And other podcasts like that. And then just, you know, discovering a lot of, conversion experts like Pep Lyre from Conversion XL and Tim Ash from Site Tuners and then Mech Labs. I think his name is Flint McLaughlin. And yeah, these guys and their YouTube channels. And I got right into it. I just loved learning about what gets results and, you know, reading books like Robert Cialdini's Influence and, you know, Persuasion more recently. But yeah, I just had a real passion for figuring out that it's not just about a pretty design at all. It's more about, you know, conversion focus. Like, you need to get a result with your design. So, I think what we did, just to be a little bit different, was, we understood marketing at that point, but we were still, like, we had a fashion background. So we wanted stuff to look really cool and not just on a t-shirt, but on a website. So that was kind of our unique angle to not just give them a, you know, conversion-focused design, but have it look sensational. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that resonated with some of those experts, you know.
And it's perfect. And what other offerings do you have now? I know technically design can go anywhere, but yeah, the website is kind of the core t-shirts, and I believe you have others too.
Yeah, we do. I mean, yeah, definitely websites and t-shirts, but more branding as well, like, you know, logos and just the whole look and feel of somebody's, you know, entire marketing presence, whether it's online or offline. And so what we do there is we have a brand director that will come up with a mood board, like, they'll come up with the look and feel of the colors, the, you know, the composition, the fonts, the the logo, pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. And she'll put this multiple page mood board together before we start, you know, designing. And that can just, you know, really help the designers, but help the client as well see the vision that we have for their brand. But yeah, so that's sort of like the starting point. But then that can go into pretty much anything from slide decks, you know, presentation, podcast, blog posts, pretty much anything related to marketing graphics.
I like that idea of the mood board, because I know you personally, it seems like, at least in our interactions, that you have a hand in a lot of this stuff. But of course, you have, 18 other folks on your team that all work remotely. So it's not just you. I know that.
That's right. Yeah.
But the mood board concept is interesting. Like, does that, and I think like others can probably take this. I know we could probably benefit from having a mood board, quote unquote, and kind of use it as a branding roadmap for the entire team. Like, is that kind of what it is?
Not really. That's more a brand style guide, which is like the last thing we'll design. But this is just an initial, you know, let's create a brand new custom look and feel that suits your business, essentially, right? And the way we come up with that is we start off, you know, our whole process is, you know, we send our clients a really detailed questionnaire, which can be a real pain in the ass to fill out, but it's helpful. And we get a lot of clients say that questionnaire was really helpful for us, just figuring out, getting clarity, you know, figuring out what we want. And so then after that, we jump on a call with the client. We'll, you know, have an hour call or thereabouts, and we record that call. So then the brand director will, you know, look at all the answers to the questionnaire, listen to the call, and then design around everything that, you know, she's studied, basically. So when we design, because every business is unique, we have to create a unique look and feel. And, you know, obviously when we get to the actual website pages, you know, we approach that with a unique style as well. But when we're creating that look and feel, we're not just thinking about, you know, what the client wants, but it's what does that client's clients want? You know what I mean? So what's going to appeal to them as far as colors and imagery and fonts and all that sort of stuff? We want it to resonate with the target audience.
That's really cool. And I think it's super helpful for anybody in their brand to get clear on that and really kind of study that.
Yeah.
Now, Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then so once we've created, you know, the look and feel, and the client says, yep, we love that look, then we'll apply it to the web design and you know, all the other bits and pieces. And then obviously, you know, we want the client's approval. So we offer unlimited design revisions on everything we do until it's approved. Mm-hmm. And then once everything's approved, we'll put it into a brand style guide if that's what the client wants as well. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the Bible or the thing that you would send out to all of your creatives from that point, so that you've got a, you know, congruent look and feel.
Yeah, and then you can use kind of that style guide even on like Instagram and with your images and things like that, just so it feels cohesive across all of the platforms.
Totally. Yeah, spot on.
I love it. So going back to the whole t-shirt thing and the web design thing, was part of the plan to kind of convert people that you did t-shirt designs for into web design clients? Because it does seem like a lot of the initial maybe web design clients started out as people that you designed t-shirts for. Was that kind of... The idea there was if I help these guys with t-shirts, then maybe they'll hire me for more design services.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was kind of the inroad. I knew I needed to pivot. I had a passion for, you know, online marketing and websites, that sort of thing. It was definitely the plan. And it kind of worked, but it wasn't my idea. Like I said, it was James Shramko's.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. A lot of our best ideas are actually James Shramko's ideas too. So
As long as we give him credit, he'll keep feeding us ideas. It's all good.
Exactly.
Yeah. We hired James as one of our business coaches too. So another thing we have in common there is that, James has had a very big impact on our business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's tie this. I'm curious. So let's keep going down the website, you know, vein here. And of course, you know, we can talk about your business covers a lot of this stuff. So anyone listening, no brainer to check out Studio One Design, that is .com. But let's talk about, so like businesses as a whole, I think most people have a website who are listening. And if they don't, probably should get one. It's a pretty good asset to have. Well, let's talk about like the different components of what makes like a really good high converting site, but also helps you boost your authority.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, if I think, you know, to our webinar that we did for your paid members, that was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And so, we sort of have three principles that we design to. So principle one is clarity. Principle two is strategy. And then principle three is persuasion. So if you want, we can sort of dive deeper into each one of them.
That'd be great.
Yeah, cool. So clarity is really, something when people land on your site, they don't care about you. They only care about what's in it for them, right? So they want to they want to know things like, how will they benefit from your offer? Do you have a solution to my challenge or problem? Do you have proof that your solution works? Why should I choose you over your competitors? And what action do you want me to take? And do you have a clear pathway on how you'll solve my challenge? So if they land on your site and they don't see how they're going to benefit from it, and they're confused and there's too many things going on and the messaging's all wrong, then it has no clarity. And then, there's a good chance they're just going to leave without taking action, right? Mm-hmm, And a lot of time a lot of people have too many things on their website, and every website has a different approach with design. Like, to me, a homepage is really to show how you can help somebody, but to also prove your authority and back it up with social proof. But then it's like a gateway to get to, you might want to segment people as well. You might have multiple offers, or you might have offers for a cold visitor, a warm visitor, or a hot visitor, because it depends what marketing you've done off the website before you bring people to your website. So, there's a lot of sort of variations there, but it is essentially a gateway as opposed to just a landing page, which would just have one call to action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's that first initial touch, typically, if someone's just typing something in. So it makes perfect sense as you're using that as a way to just let them just dig a little deeper after they get a quick look at who you are.
Exactly. And so you don't want to confuse them, but you do want to make sure that, you can show them a clear pathway based on their particular situation.
Mm. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So
yeah,
number two cool. on that one.
Then. Number two, strategy. Yeah. So a strategy is really when somebody lands on your website, what do you want them to do, right? And it might be for, cold visitors, you might have a lead magnet of some sort. It might be a PDF download or a free course, a free trial, depends what your business model is. It might be a discount if you've got an e-commerce business, that sort of thing, which I'm not a real huge fan of having discounts. I prefer to have join our VIP club, which is what, what we learned through Ezra Firestone. He's the e-commerce guru. Mm-hmm. So what he taught, and we were his design team for 3 years before he built his, $25 million business and in-house team. But
to thank for everything. Mm. Dang it.
Yeah, totally. Love that.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of having offering a discount on an e-commerce site. I would prefer to say, join the VIP club and you'll get member only discounts and special offers, tailored specifically to you, that sort of thing. Which works really well because then you're building a community as well. As opposed to just cheapening the brand,
Well, you probably get a lot of repeat buyers that way as well. So it makes marketing easier overall.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if you've watched any of Ezra's presentations, it's all about the email marketing after you've got the lead. Yeah. So anyway, So for strategy, that's for cold leads. And then you might have something for warm leads. So they might have downloaded your free offer or whatever that case, whatever that is. And then they might be ready to, spend an hour with you. So, for instance, with a service business, or a SaaS business, you might want to have a webinar. And we do that on our site. And it converts really well. Mm-hmm. It's various software that you can use for webinars, which you don't always have to use. You can just put the video on the next page, if you like, which is what we're testing at the moment. And we find that's, working a lot better than using software and saying, select this time or that time. And because the problem with that is that people, they don't necessarily have an hour spare. They just want to skip through it, right? So, and we tested turning in Wistia, the video player, turning off the ability to skip through versus turning it on, and it converted better. I mean, people were skipping through, but they were still scheduling the call after it. So it doesn't really matter if they watch it all or not, but you just want to sort of tweak things to make it easier for them. So that's for warm leads. And then for hot leads, depends on your business again, but you know, just have a strategy call or something like that so that you can just see if you're a good fit with for somebody. You know, and if it's a membership, whatever, just have a buy now button. You don't need to put people through like an ascension model, you know, to take them through this step or that step or that step. Just give them the opportunity to buy straight away.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I love it. Because that's very similar. Yeah. I know Schramko preaches, I just call Schramko, James, preaches like a chooser type thing on his, on, you know, he has one on his website. And yeah,
totally.
It's like self-select where you go and it's a custom path.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's really, you know, Ryan Levesque's ask method and it's meeting people where they're at. So it's not just a cold, warm or hot lead magnet. It's really just, yeah, giving people a clear pathway based on their particular challenge. So I think Schramko has four different things and, you know, four different, you know, I think he starts, I better open his website. We designed it. But
I thought so. Yeah, new one too. Yeah.
But he has, you know, the first option is I need help with business strategy. And then the next one, I need help with, you know, traffic or sales, need help with blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So then people select that and then they go to another page and then he says, right, which profit zone are you in right now? So not quite 10K a year, somewhere between 10 and 500, more than 500. So the point is, like, he's segmenting people, but it's really helpful for that person that's being segmented, you know, because he's going to provide them with a solution based on where they're at right now. And, yeah, it is based on Ryan Levesque's ask method. And then what he would do, what Ryan Levesque says to do is, let's say you've got a landing page for your offer, but they've come in through being segmented from, you know, let's say version A, then the landing page of version A would have testimonials and copy that's slightly tweaked to, you know, to match that version A. And then same with version B or version C. So, yeah, you want to just tweak the text slightly. It's the same design, same landing page, same messaging, but slightly tweaked to suit whatever they came in from. Just pretty smart.
Oh, my God. I've always loved, and yeah, you're right, it's totally Ryan Levesque's model, but I love the execution of it.
Well, just from James's a conversion standpoint, too, like the sales messaging that you can put in front of them after a chooser is just going to be so much more dialed into that specific person.
Mm-hmm.
Spot on. Yeah, spot on, yeah. And then what also, as far as strategy goes, I mean, you might not be able to go to that extent, especially, you know, if you're more starting out and you don't have, you know, a bunch of different pain points and things to solve. But what people often forget to do is, let's say that somebody has opted in for a free lead magnet, is they'll just say, hey, you know, a little text on the thank you page, say, hey, thanks for downloading the ebook, and that's it, right? But that thank you page is a huge opportunity that most, you know, website designers miss completely.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, so you just want to offer something else on the thank you page. You know, it might be the next step in your funnel, that warm thing or the hot thing, whatever it is. But I recommend having like a video on that thank you page. And it might just be a, you know, face to camera video just saying, hey, thanks for downloading the free thing, whatever it is. Now I'd like to sort of offer blah, 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 whatever the next step of the funnel is, and then explain what that is exactly and educate them a little bit. And, you know, it's really the opportunity to build trust. I mean, they've just given you a yes, so now there's a good chance they're going to give you another yes if, you know, if you get their attention.
Yeah, I love it. And everything, if you could just make it low friction slash allow them to choose the next best option. This also reminds me, this is something that Matt, you'll know, the super signature, email signature. Yeah, that's
Dean Jackson.
Dean Jackson. I forget who told us about it, but yeah, it's Dean Jackson.
Nick Kuzmich, who was talking to us about it on our show.
Yeah.
Yep.
You could use the same concept here. It's essentially that. It's like, hey, now that you've done that, thank you. You know, it's like, here are the next few ways that you can do business together with me. And it might be, you know, from easy, moderate to more, you know, advanced, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, once you've got their email address, don't just, you know, leave it there and respect that email address as well. I mean, the purpose of it is so that you can build more trust with them over time. They might not be ready to purchase yet, right? So, don't abuse that email. Don't spam them. Just keep providing helpful, you know, information. And, you know, whether that's putting them into a nurture sequence, you know, where you have things already preset, or if it's just sending them new information once you've got it. And once you, you know, put new content on your website, like on your blog, your podcast, or whatever, send people back to your website to consume that helpful content.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that's is that wrap up everything for strategy?
Strategy, it pretty much does. Yeah, pretty much.
I know there's a lot of strategy. You can probably keep going.
That's right. Yeah.
So what do we got? Number three.
Yeah. Persuasion. So really, this is like the book Influence by Robert Cialdini, the Psychology of Persuasion, and so that was really one book that sort of changed my business really because of the fact that it's just so powerful. If you put these principles, which are authority, social proof, consistency, liking, reciprocity, and scarcity on your website, then that can really help persuade people to take action. So obviously you need the right copywriting and the right message, and you need to have an offer that people actually want to pay you for. But if you put all of these elements onto your website, you can really give it a good boost.
Yeah. No, the persuasion, I mean, both of those books are absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And even just, if you want a quick hit, it's like look up a summary and you can probably get the points and honestly just like go down each chapter. It's like, cool. Like make sure you have all of these and just start with like one.
That's
boost your conversions.
Yeah, totally. And as far as, I can sort of give some tips as far as a website goes, if you want for each of those points. Yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, cool. Well, with authority, you can display your authority, visually. Like, for instance, you might be speaking from stage, or even, if you're a tradesperson, it might be professional photo of you and your team standing in front of your vehicles, that sort of thing. I really encourage people to get a professional photo shoot done and professional videos as well, because you can really take your perceived value to the next level based on that perceived authority, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
it doesn't cost much to get some very professional looking photos. I mean, everyone has a really nice camera. It's just get someone that has an idea of how to light it up and frame it right. Yeah
totally. Exactly.
Just start at least.
Yeah, and here's the thing: like, you might have an awesome service or business or whatever the case is, but if people land on your website and they don't see that you're awesome, then they might not think you're as awesome as you are, right? Yeah. So you're kind of doing yourself a disservice if you don't invest in that. And if you think back to, like the old days where shop fronts were, the first impression. Well, these days it is your website. So, it is like the receptionist. And, you want to make those first impressions last. So you don't get a second chance at first impressions.
Yeah. So that was the authority element of influence?
Yep. And then social proof, which is really just having other people sort of, say how awesome you are instead of you saying how awesome you are, right? You want other people to give case studies or, video testimonial, written testimonials, reviews, product reviews, that sort of thing. But the more social proof you can have on a website, the better. And case studies are especially powerful. So a case study might be showing how or what their situation looked like before they came to your business, and then how you helped them, throughout that journey, and then what the results were. So then people that are on your website, they'll read those stories, they'll resonate, and they'll figure out how, how you help them might be how you can help that visitor as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a relatability factor.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just on that, I see a lot of websites, they put logos of, as seen on, all these massive publications, but, and then they might have, two clients that were big names. But the problem with just putting those big names and as seen on those big publications on your site is that if your clientele is, a lower, say a smaller business, right? And they just see these big names, they're going to think that you're not for them. So you really want to mix it up and show a range. If you've got a lot of medium-sized businesses, then put medium-sized logos on for the majority of it, so that people aren't turned away thinking that you're not a good fit for them.
Not to mention that the whole as seen on stuff has kind of lost a lot of weight over the years, because you get people that go out there and they'll submit a press release that goes on every website on the internet, and now all of a sudden they're as seen on Fox News or whatever.
I agree, it's diluted. And then consistency, so just having a consistent look and feel across your website and your whole online presence, from your social media to you know, your offline events, whatever you're doing in the form of, you know, in the way of marketing. But yeah, also having a consistent voice and consistent values as well. So, you know, if you're, you know, sharing content on social media, and you've got a consistent voice, then people are going to start to trust where you're coming from and that particular set of values that you have, you know. Mm. And then there's liking. So once again, I mean, people buy from people they know, like, and trust, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, put your opinions out there. And, you know, if you're doing a blog post or if there's a news story or whatever, put your opinion. Don't just, like, copy whatever else is out there. Put your opinion into it so that people really get to know, like, and trust you.
Yeah, that's huge. And I was going to say something on the consistency factor too. We're realizing that, at least in our experience in our business, Matt was literally, sorry, this is just like, he was flipping through Robert Cialdini's thing and he had a bookmarker that was actually a Power Rangers like playing card or something. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I totally screwed up Joe's train of thought by handing him my bookmark, which is a Power Rangers trading card.
Where did that come from?
I have no clue. I don't remember ever collecting Power Rangers trading cards.
But consistency, that was your the third point from persuasion, Robert Cialdini, is with us, our voice, a long time we did not have consistency, at least it didn't feel as consistent, or like our voice here as compared to like our stuff on social media or our website as a whole. But now we've definitely been, folks that we meet in person say, like, no, you are the same person where you are here as you are online and in person.
Awesome.
Wow. And the trust factor, like you said, then it gets into liking and the whole authority building and persuasion. It just makes everything, the whole relationship, much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people over construct what that should just, like, just be you everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Which is easier said than done. A lot of people.
I know.
Yeah. A lot of people just, put it on. But anyway, it's okay. And it can take a while to find, your sweet spot and your voice and things like that. You know, a lot of businesses pivot over time as well. So
true.
Yeah. It's hard to be consistent, but, and then there's reciprocity. So it's really leading with value, which is, what you should be doing anyway. And people are more likely to give back, if you've given something to them first, essentially. So it's not just for lead magnets, but it's like, you guys, you got this awesome podcast, and you're not asking for anything in return. And, that's just building trust. And it's a really, really powerful, principle, in my opinion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Scarcity and urgency, which is the final principle. And, it's really human nature to desire what there's less of, right? So as far as your website goes, if you have an e-commerce, you might have put the quantity available remaining of each product. A lot of them are sold out, and, but if you actually show there's 12 left or whatever, that can really help people take action if there's not many left. But same with, if you have, whatever is a limited time offer, it kind of depends on the business model. But if you're, running a webinar, or well, not so much a webinar, but a live event, you can show a limited amount of seats. Just don't use fake scarcity. I know you guys talk about that a lot.
Yeah, not a fan.
they're the principles.
Yeah, those are amazing principles. And just so everyone, just to be super clear, pick up Robert Cialdini's book, Persuasion, if you haven't. That's like our influence, that is. That's the Bible, basically, for all this, and just follow along. That's
totally.
Yeah, it's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
You can use them in life as well, but how we use them on a website. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you read Influence isn't necessarily a book that's geared towards entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs just adopted the hell out of it and went, this is how you sell too.
True.
But the book is actually literally just about like how to have more influence over people. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a business book.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm curious, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people making with their website designs? Like, what are some of the things that stand out that you're just constantly banging your head against the wall going, why do so many people do this?
Number one is, they sell on hello, right? Like, honestly, even e-commerce sites do this more so than anything. But if you have a look at like Ezra's latest Boom by Cindy Joseph homepage, he's actually got an education piece on there now. And this is what we do with our sites as well. I mean, you want to let people know what you do, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's now got, see the tutorial. So he's educating people on, you know, why this product's awesome. And he's got social proof in there and, you know, Jennifer Aniston, like authority and things like that.
Wow.
And then the products are the solution to that problem, you know? And so, yeah, the biggest problem I see is people try to sell on Hello. And it may work. And look, it's only worked with one of the websites that we've done because of the fact that, you know, they've done a lot of marketing off the site that brings people to the site. So then you can have a buy now button on there. But yeah, if you've got cold visitors, just don't try to sell on Hello. So that's probably the biggest mistake I see.
Sure. Yeah, that's a huge one. It's all about the conversation. Yeah. That's, I think, and when you build something like this and have some, it's not like you need a lot of marketing to bring people to your online asset, your website like this. You have some persuasion elements like you just listed. You should kind of start to trust, or I think you'll learn to start to trust that online asset to do a lot of the work for you to build the trust. So then you just, get them on the list, but just have a conversation. Eventually the right time pops up and then it's usually low friction.
Well, to what you just said about getting them on the list, what are your thoughts on you know, opting them in on Hello?
Hmm.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Because that's not really a sale. I mean, you're not asking for money, you know,
Given value.
Yeah.
In exchange.
Given value. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I would encourage people to, you know, to have an opt-in for sure. Anything, just asking for an email address. And just on that, don't ask for like five different fields, like, you know, email, phone number, first name, last name, all that sort of stuff. You just need an email address. And I ask for the first name because when you do send people emails, you want to address them by their first name just to make it feel more personal.
That's true. Yeah.
That's something that we don't do much of. All of our customers, we have their names. So we try to personalize customer emails, but for our actual lead emails, we rarely collect names. I mean, to be honest, we haven't done a whole lot of testing. That was kind of one of those things. It's like everybody always used to tell us the more fields, the lower the conversion rate. So let's just only ask for email. But to be honest, it's something we probably should test again.
Well, honestly, it's like the quality of people and the conversations. Maybe the right people are going to take that extra second. And then we're just nurturing that relationship on a deeper level when we do personalize our communication with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, correct.
Definitely better to have less leads of higher quality than more leads of lower quality.
100%.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And like, for instance, like a couple of websites we've designed for like personal training businesses, you know, that are really quite local and they're not trying to reach a global audience and they don't need a massive list. They just want people to come through the door, but they want to know that they're serious, right? Mm-hmm. So they do ask for a phone number and they've tested with and without. And the ones that convert are the ones that give their phone number. So it really depends on the business.
Hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there any other, like, from a design standpoint, things that you're not really a fan of? I know for me, one thing that I really don't like with design, and you may disagree and have a counterpoints to it, but I really don't like it when people put sliders at the top of a website and like scrolls through images.
Yeah, and they're a proven conversion killer. So in like 95% of split tests, then and this is not me doing the test. Sorry, this is Conversion Excel and Mech Labs and all those people that I follow. They all say that in most split tests, image sliders will kill conversions. And, you know, there's about a dozen reasons why, but the main one is because it's freaking annoying for people, right? They're trying to read something.
And there's a lot of tech issues sometimes in browsers and mobile.
Makes your site load slower,
Yeah, totally, yeah. And video backgrounds are pretty much in the same boat as that, from the point of view that they are so distracting. Unless you've got, you know, not much else on the page and it's just a simple message or a simple opt-in or something like that, then it can work. But yeah, generally speaking, they're slow and they're annoying and they do not work.
Yeah.
Are there any trends that do work, like with design, that are just like new and fresh, or ones that you always go to?
Yeah, so anything, you can have a little bit of a micro movement and it might be on a call to action that just potentially jiggles a little bit or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Like a button. And also,
yeah, just to draw a little bit of attention, but don't have it, you know, like like flash in and like the old way of, you know, designing websites where there's spinning in circles, bells and whistles. Yeah. Just a micro movement. But also, for instance, we like to use this thing called like an impact, like a metric bar, right? And it might be just like underneath the main banner on your homepage, a row of metrics that move. So in other words, you might have 10,000 followers, for instance. So instead of just showing the number 10,000, it'll count up from 5,000 really quickly and stop at 10,000. So it'll get a little bit of attention. And the only things we want to draw attention to are call to actions and social proof, really. Excuse me. A sip of water.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Actually, that's a great strategy. There's call to actions, of course, but social proof, because that is creating the trust to then click that call to action.
I don't know if he still has it or not, but I know on Pat Flynn's site up in the top right, he's got like his, this is my monthly income number. And then there's like a little graph behind it. And the graph is just slightly animated.
Yes. It draws a bit of attention. Yeah. And that's kind of what makes him unique, you know, doing those income reports.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Although I think he stopped doing them about a year ago, but.
Did he? All right. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, there you go. That's since he hired James Schramko.
Yeah, maybe so. There you go. Good for him.
Cool. There you go. Yeah. But yeah, a couple of other mistakes though that I see are leakage points, right? So for instance, we see a lot of people use social media icons in the header of their website. Now, the problem with that is people go press them and then they're off social media and they never come back. Now, yes, you can have them open in a new tab and that might help a little bit. Some people have it open in the same tab that their website was on. So they just lost them forever. But then there's other leakage points as well. So, for instance, you know, if you do have an opt-in and it's a, you know, it's a requirement to have a privacy policy, you know, on a website or an opt-in, especially if you're sending paid traffic to it, when people click on that privacy policy link, people have go over to another web page totally. And so, therefore, they may never come back. So what we do instead with that privacy, when they press that, it'll just open a pop-up on the page showing the privacy. So there's no leakage. They're not going to go anywhere else. And then, for instance, videos as well. People embed YouTube videos on their website, but you know they don't have the paid account. And so people go and press, they play the video, they get to the end, and then they have other recommended videos or they have the YouTube logo in the corner and they press that and they leak off to YouTube and never come back. So, yeah, we like to sort of eliminate any leakage points.
So when you say you don't have a paid account, there's like a way to pay YouTube to be able to not do that?
I actually didn't know
I did not know that was a thing.
It is a thing.
What is this?
Yeah. Well, I don't have it myself. I use Wistia, Okay. And the reason I use Wistia is because it has really good analytics and no leakage points. And it's a beautiful player and it just looks really nice. But YouTube, you're asking for trouble unless you've got a paid account. You can turn off, you know, when it gets to the end of the video, there'll be nothing else. Mm. And you can remove that YouTube logo from the corner of the video. So you just can't leak off.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, we use Vimeo for, you know, pretty much the same reasons. Perfect. I don't think it has nearly as in-depth analytics as what Wistia might have, but
no leakage points.
Same idea, same reasons.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Vimeo is great as well. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Cool. Interesting.
Well, I sort of want to shift gears, unless Joe, you had more stuff specifically on the design thing.
No, I wanted to shift gears too, but I want to hear what you're shifting to.
Okay. First. So I actually wanted to shift gears because, you know, your business is clearly an agency business. And, you know, Joe and I, we've actually toyed with the agency concept. We've had multiple agencies in the past that we did. We had a handful of clients. And then kind of once we finished up with those clients, we want to keep doing an agency. And then we sort of phased the agency out. And then we had a new idea and started a new. So we've had multiple agencies over the years and that have kind of come and gone. And we're actually in a position now where we're probably going to have another agency pretty soon in the podcasting space.
Wow.
So I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about like your agency model. And one of the things you said before we even hit record was you don't typically work on Fridays. You know, you'll jump on podcasts on Fridays, but you know, your work day doesn't really, your work week doesn't really typically extend through Fridays. And so it sounds like you've built a pretty good lifestyle business around an agency. And our experience with agencies is they've always been quite a lot of work, a lot of hands-on from us, a lot more time consuming than more of like an info-based publishing business like what we sort of have done mostly. So I'm kind of curious how you sort of engineered that business to, be an agency, work with a high volume of clients, but still create like a great lifestyle freedom for yourself.
Yeah, look, I would say, 5 years of just step by step implementing this and that and building the team slowly. And it is hard with a service business where you're offering a custom design service. So I think there's a few things, but number one, like, we offer unlimited design revisions because I don't want to have to sit there and count the amount of revisions, right?
Love it. So you just nix that. You're like, all right, keep it easy.
Totally. Yeah. So for the team as well, they don't have to worry about it. We just offer unlimited revisions and that's it. So we just keep going until it's approved. So that's one thing. And then obviously, we've got a team. We've got 20 people on our team. So with that, we've got a design manager. I mean, my role is really just to bring the business in the door, but I don't do all of that these days. I've got a salesperson that's also a website strategist, expert marketer. Mm-hmm. So she does most of the calls these days, which is really helpful. But it took a while. Like, for each step of getting to that next level, I do systemize and I do have SOPs, standard operating procedures. And so even for, taking the sales call, that I don't do much of anymore, I had to write a full SOP and then I had my salesperson do it with me, on the call with the clients for about 6 calls, and now she just does it by herself. So it's kind of that, you do it yourself, you write an SOP for it, yeah, you watch someone else, or they do it with you, and then you watch, you let them have it, sort of thing. And so that's what we do with every sort of step of the way. And we do have design managers that, I did help at the start, but I don't have to anymore. And we do have a team that are based in Australia and the Philippines. I find Filipino designers, they might have really good folios, but they don't have really good marketing knowledge or, conversion-focused design. So, our designers from Australia will teach them. And it's a bit of a long process of, bringing people up to speed. But I think probably the biggest key is having the right people, like hiring the right people from the start. So, we have a pretty good process for hiring people. And, it's kind of similar to our when we onboard a new client. We have a lot of questions that we ask them. Then we do an interview. And then, we'll sort of pick the people that we think are a good fit, put them on a 2-week trial, and then extend that to 2 months and, then, have them full time, sort of thing. But yeah, I think having a good team is crucial. Having standard operating procedures for every step of the way. Now, I don't create all of the standard operating procedures either. I have the design managers create their own, the VA create her own. And the hierarchy is really just me and the salesperson, and then, the brand director, the design managers, then the designers, and the VA who deals with the customer support.
So it sounds like, I think it is, because I know you love to travel and do a bunch of other cool stuff, you kind of created a really solid lifestyle business with this agency model and leveraging the team and being remote. Would that sound correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I still work probably 40 hours a week in 4 days. So yeah, it's like 10 hours, but at the same time, I do love what I do and I don't mind working 10 hours a day for four days in a row, because then I get 3 days off. Having said that, I will still take my daughter to school and pick her up and take her to sports or, anything like that. So I don't have to work, throughout those 10 hours. It's just that I'm available. And really my role is just to, have calls with clients and bring the business in the door partly and maintain relationships and just check in with the team. But, yeah, I don't even have team meetings because they don't want to have calls, right? So we just use Slack for that. We have a project management system. All the projects go through that. We use Google Docs for a bird's eye view of how many projects we've got in the system. And, at any given time, we've got between 75 and 100. So it's quite a bit. But it's quite easy once you've got a system in and a process and people to manage it. So, yeah, it just doesn't really rely on me that much. I do love the business and I'm quite passionate about design and I like to oversee it, but I probably don't have to work as much as I do.
Yeah. Well, we filled out your onboarding questionnaire, and it's a pretty hefty questionnaire. But just going through the process of filling out that questionnaire, I found so many like holes in our business, and it was a very educational process for me, because in the process of answering these questions of like, you know, who is your ideal client and what does your avatar look like and what's the demographic, and you know, trying to just, you know, get all this information out onto this document, I was sort of uncovering blind spots in our own business. So, you know, the questionnaire, although it is pretty long, it is something that I think will be beneficial for clients to fill out, and then obviously it makes the process so much smoother for you guys once the client is onboarded. And you know, we're gonna be doing a complete overhaul of our website, likely in like November or December. So, you know, that's in the works.
With you, of course. No, with the competitor. No, I'm just kidding. Awesome. Yeah, no, we're stoked. And because we finally, and you helped us actually through that questionnaire, I think, Matt, when you were filling that out, it really had us thinking about our brand as a whole. Like, where do we focus? Because, you know, everything has its own little brand to it, but the cohesive brand, it really got us to think, like, what's our hub? Where should we be focusing? And Evergreen Profits is what we decided on, as the main hub where everything kind of lives under. So it's, you know, it like Matt said, it uncovers some blind spots. It brings clarity to a lot of things in our business. And that's probably awesome. For most people that fill out that form too for you. Yeah. So, and then they could have a cool looking logo or website too. As a benefit.
You you got it. Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to designing your site, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Gonna, it'll be cool. Thank you.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Now, I know you said you had a different topic. Was it the same topic?
No. I pointed out that, we literally shifted gears to the same exact thing. Okay. So, I just wanted to shine light on your business model and how the day-to-day looks like. And you did it perfectly. It gives us... gives us hope that, you know, you can create a good agency with amazing systems, because I know with the systems, that's like the backbone to everything. But also keeping it simple sounds like is a big thing, not going too wide with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's pretty simple. Like I said, just using Google Docs for an overview, it's pretty manual, but you can just see it. And it's all color-coded. You see who's working on what and all that sort of stuff. So, cool.
Well, you're also not trying to launch a new brand every 3 months like we do.
That's the thing. We definitely work a little harder than we should. But it's these freaking ideas and talking to people like you where we get good ideas.
I love it. Yeah, we have some amazing guests on this podcast.
Yeah, you want to know what the podcast is 95% amazing. The 5% that's a slight curse is that we're getting fed amazing ideas constantly
by brilliant people.
I love it. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
No, it's seriously this it's a blind spot that we didn't know, and we're like, crap, that actually kind of deters, or you know, it slows us down in some respects, but we're finally at a point where I think we're realizing that, and we're gonna get the best of both the worlds, so it's okay. Yeah.
Well, I do have one last question about the actual business, and you mentioned that the key is really finding a great team. Do you have like a specific resource that you like to go to hire, or are you just kind of, you know, putting feelers out all over the place and you know, bringing in who you can?
Yeah, so my biggest resource for hiring a team is my team. But look, that takes a while, obviously. But when I first started looking for, you know, people in the Philippines, I looked at onlinejobs.ph, right? And we still have our feelers out there as well. It's pretty hard to find really good talent in the design world, I find. But you know, you might find 1 in 100. Type of thing, applicants. So
same, I've had that experience too back in the day. It's like,
But still, so now it's the team. They always know somebody that's looking for work, and they, you know, mainly they have a nursing degree, but then they have other skills as well. Especially with design, they're all part of design communities. So when we need to put the feelers out, they'll put the word out.
Very cool.
That's nice. It's just leveraging relationships, and I know that helps with, you know, the team is a strong entity as its own, that they can all support each other, which it sounds like they are, if they're kind of self-managed and then with just Slack. That's the beautiful thing. They don't need calls. It's even better.
And we don't, all we do is get them to record their time on each project, so we know what, you know, how much time we spend on each project. But You know, we don't monitor that. We don't put any of that software on their screens to do screenshots, mm-hmm. to make sure that they're working. Like, I know they stuff around, you know, looking, you know, I mean, yeah, they might be on social media, they might be doing other things, but that's fine as long as the work gets done, you know?
Yeah. Funny story. I actually hired somebody once back on Odesk, I think it was. And they at the time, they had like a screen capture thing where it would capture their screen like every like 10 minutes. And, and I went and looked at their screen captures one time because they were developing something for me and they charged me for like 10 hours or whatever. And I went and looked at their screenshots and like 5 hours of it was porn. Oh.
5 hours. Wow.
Yeah. So needless to say, Odesk didn't end up charging me for those hours, but
that's hilarious. Didn't even know that. That's awesome.
But no, we don't use those screen capture tools or anything. That was just like a mechanism that was built into that.
Yeah, app, that's right. Know? That's right.
Not for our team, but yeah, for someone brand new like that, maybe. Good thing that you did.
Yeah.
Hopefully the code was good. The way I see it is you want to build trust in them, you know, you want to let them know that, you trust them. So that's a good way to lose that trust, to put a screen capture tool on their computer.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, let's wrap it up. I know we've gone a little bit, unless Matt, you guys.
No, I'm good. I think I got all my.
Give me that look. That,
No, we're good.
Man. Well, let's.
This has been awesome, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, Greg. I mean, other than the, you know, and we talked about influence a lot and persuasion. If there, and then this is a swipe from Justin Brooke the other day when we had him on. If there were like a fire in your house, and you had like, you know, a minute to grab a book, like which most impactful book would you grab? And this could be one that, you know, you recommend to others and whatnot.
I would say The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. That's probably one of the first books that I read in my, you know, early 20s. And I was just thinking then that, if the house burnt down, well, you'd want to try and find some happiness somehow. So I'd probably read that again.
That's a good one, man. I just finished the Joy Book of Joy with it was the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu.
Oh wow! And
it was like an interviewer was interviewing them, so you might like that one too. I have not.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what we should do if you're open to it? Maybe like after we get our website revamped in the next, you know, 6 weeks or so, 6-8 weeks, maybe we should bring you back on for maybe like a shorter episode and we could just like talk about like what elements you put into the website and why and just kind of have like kind of like a little interesting dissection of it.
A before and after.
That'd be awesome. Get
some stats too.
Yeah, that might be kind of a fun little concept.
Cool. Good idea.
Yeah, please get stats. That'd be awesome before and then we'll measure them. Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. All right. Well,
cool.
Studio One Design is where you know to find Greg. Is there any other resource or anywhere else we should point folks to?
Well, if they want to download a checklist which has 50 things that will, you know, it's just a yes or a no. If they turn those no's into a yes, they'll, you know, be able to get a higher converting website. So if they go to studioonedesign.com/checklist.
Perfect. studioonedesign.com/checklist.
Cool.
We'll link that up too.
We'll make sure that's in the show notes.
Cool, man.
Awesome.
Well, great.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
It's my absolute pleasure. Take care.
You too.
Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
You dang right you did.
Of course you enjoyed it. What's not to enjoy?
We weren't going to publish it unless you and we're going to enjoy this.
If we don't enjoy it, we don't publish it. Therefore, we only publish the stuff we know you're going to enjoy.
We listen and read the notes as well. So
very, very true.
2 days
away. Well, you know what I want to do? I want to actually start reading some reviews of some of the people that listen to our podcast because we're getting some really cool reviews. And also, I want to kind of incentivize people to leave more reviews because then we're going to read them for you.
Hey, man. This is our shout-out section.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is going to become.
For sure.
The outro shout-out section. So, yeah. Let's do some reviews. And prior to that...
Let's talk about some of the guys that have supported us.
Yeah. And there's a couple shout-outs from our friends and some other folks that reached out to us. These two actually are our friends. They're pretty close friends of ours. And they support our show. So, you know, if you want to get more of a, like an exclusive shout out, reach out to us. We have a couple spots available occasionally. So it depends. But the first, you know, our buddy of ours, actually, Steve Olscher, he's one of our masterminds. He runs a podcast called Beyond Eight Figures. And they're chatting with just amazing entrepreneurs who do, they be, have either exited or they currently run a business that is above 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically grill. So they have three hosts over there. Steve Ulscher, Mary Goulet, and Richie Ote. They're all buddies of ours as well. All in San Diego. And they basically grill them until they figure out their methodologies, the tactics and action steps that actually got them to accomplish that, which are what few companies ever would ever get to that point.
For sure. It's a great podcast. They cover a lot of ground. And, you know, the whole thing is trying to uncover what goes into creating an eight-figure business so that other businesses could sort of reverse engineer the success. Yeah. So, amazing podcast. That's Steve Ulscher's Beyond Eight Figures podcast. Definitely go check it out on Apple Podcasts and everywhere where you listen to your favorite shows.
You're going to like it. It's very similar to this one with different approaches. So, I think if you're a fan of this, you're going to love his show, Beyond Eight Figures.
And then our other supporter for this episode is our good buddy Casey Zeman's Easy Webinar.
Bam! And both these guys have actually been on our show too, Steve and Casey.
Yeah.
So if you like them, you can even check out an episode too.
Yeah. So check out easywebinar.com/hustle because Casey put together a 20% off deal for listeners of Hustle and Flowchart. So easywebinar.com/hustle. Now, Easy Webinar is kind of a webinar tool, but it has live webinars. It's got automated webinars. It's got kind of hybrid webinars. It's got all sorts of, you know, social media functionality. It's got, it's pretty much like the only webinar platform you would ever need. It's got everything all in a single platform. A lot of the other platforms, you got to buy one product to go live and one product to go automated and one product if you want high. And this one is just, you know, you get Easy Webinar, you're covered. You got it all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want Easy Webinar, get it for 20% off. Go to easywebinar.com/hustle. And again, I just want to thank our partners and our supporters on this show, Casey and Steve. We love you guys. Let's go talk about some of these cool reviews we're getting.
Yeah, let's get into them.
I got another review for us.
Wow, that was quick on the trigger there.
Quick on the trigger, yeah. You don't see the behind the scenes, but I like to throw Joe off of his game and just like hit record sometimes.
Matt, little thing you don't know, I'm always on my game.
Except for the times that you're not.
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
All righty. So today's review, the title is Actionable Tips for Success. Love it. There's exclamation mark.
You don't see a lot of hyphens in these titles, so I'm happy a hyphen made an appearance and 5 stars was attached to this review.
5 stars, and it's from Isaac Jacobs. Thank you so much, Isaac, in Great Britain, for leaving this amazing review. Isaac says, I love the real vibe that you bring to your podcast. It is packed.
Vibe.
Not that kind of vibe, dude.
Oh, okay.
It is packed with actionable tips that can really help us focus on the meat and potatoes needed to grow and improve. Looking forward to listening to many more, and thanks, guys.
Dude, I'm hungry. Isaac, did you send meat and potatoes with this review? Because I want lunch.
I think this guy's got it wrong, though, because focusing on meat and potatoes is a recipe for just eating too much and getting more done in your business.
Meat and potatoes, do you work out? There's gonna be a lot of carbs associated with that. If you sit behind the computer all day, that's going to catch up to y'all. But I appreciate the review, and I know what you're actually saying. So. Isaac, you rock, man. And
Vibe is a big thing for us. We're trying to go for the good vibe. Not, you know, not the vibrator that Joe was talking about, but we're trying to...
I'm just saying vibrations. Vibrator.
You were vibrating. You were going...
I listen to binaural beats or vibrations in audio form that sound like that too, but
okay,
vibrators can be entertaining for some folks.
Yeah, but we're going for a vibe.
We are going for a vibe, that's true. Yeah. And we like the vibe that we have. I think I'm happy the vibe is resonating.
Yeah.
That means a lot. That's super cool.
That's true. Yes, our vibe is we just goof off and have fun and talk to our friends a lot.
It seems like the feedback we get from most of our guests too. High-level people that do podcasts are like, you guys have been the most fun I've been on.
That is the most common frequent feedback we get from guests, not from listeners, but from guests is, yeah. I have so much fun going on your show.
Those are quotes, so. Like straight up. And it's usually off air after we hit record or the stop record. Yeah, we just got to like keep recording and just like fake it out and just get that on recording a lot more.
Or you can just take our word for it and believe us. God, have some faith that people actually say this.
Yeah, don't you chill with our vibrations over here? I mean, come on.
All right, Isaac, thanks so much for leaving the review. Everybody else listening, head over to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you like to leave reviews. We're reading reviews off of iTunes specifically because that
doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, go over to Apple Podcasts and leave reviews. And we love you for it. And we love reading them and having fun reading them. So thank you. Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.